Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Loose Cedars, for the 13th of December, 2021. I'm joined by Harry.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the 75 MPs who have decided to rebel against Boris Johnson, Santa Inc. and Cowboy Bebop fail.
Bebop.
You're going to have to tell me about that. Because
it's a little bit of Bebop, you know?
I've seen the Santa Inc. stuff, but not the Bebop stuff.
It's Japanese. You probably will hate it.
Rightio.
Just on principle.
Speaking of things you hate, we'll also be talking about the unflushable turd woman.
We all hate the unflushable turd woman.
Hillary Clinton. She's not the only one, actually, I should say. I mean, there is also Meghan Markle as well, who's also an unflushable turd, but well, she seems to have flushed off for a bit, so she'll be back later.
Turds anyway. Of a feather flock together.
Actually, yes. Anyway, going into the stuff on the website to start off, so some of the things that went up over the weekend mentions, the first thing here being an article from Beau, in which he wrote about Kim Fox and the ballad of Jussie Smollett, or however the hell he pronounced his name.
Somalian?
Some smiley, juicy man.
No, they were Nigerian, actually.
Oh, okay, right. So, yeah, go and check that out. Next thing to mention is Hugo's article, The War on Drugs, brought to you by the Tories on cocaine, because, of course, they're all on coke. There's also an audio track for that, because it's premium, and the audio track is for silver and gold tier members only, so there's a reason to subscribe.
It's a fantastic thumbnail as well. I've got to give props.
I love the headline as well, just, we're against drugs, also. Okay. So, moving on, we have The Contemplation. So, this is a series that Josh does, and he did this one with John, in which they went over South Korea, because John has a history in South Korea, working for Samsung and all that, so could give some insight. So that's a country profile there. I think that's a new series they're going to be splashing out as well, so that'll be good fun. Look forward to North Korea. Anyway, moving on, so let's go to the next one, which is Of Max and Men, which is, I believe, an article by V.
Oh, really?
VTV.
Ah.
Of course, real name, which I'm not going to try, because it's Romanian.
Codrin Stavri,
yeah,
by the looks of it.
I don't know. So anyway, go and check that out, because that's on there. That one's free as well. And next thing to mention is another article from Hugo that was premium. GDP is bad, very bad. I didn't get a chance to read this one, so I'm not sure what that one's about. But it also has an audio track for silver and gold tiers, as usual. So the last thing to mention is the Epochs, which went up over the weekend as well. This is Sir Christopher Napier, which I don't know anything about. So sorry, can't replug that one very well, but...
About Epochs, I don't really know much about the historical stuff, but I will get round to listening to them eventually.
But that is the point, essentially, which is the interesting things from history that you don't know about, so go and check that out as well. But anyway, without further shilling ado, let's go into the stuff and the stories. So, firstly, 75 MPs have now declared their rebellion against Boris Johnson in response to the vaccine passports. So the nice thing here being that they're actually doing something for once.
Yes.
So commendable. And plus,
not enough of them, but
it is
at least they're doing something.
Huge story, because it could be the end of Boris Johnson, if not now, then in a few months or whenever the hell else he gets kicked out. And we should go through it. So the first thing to mention here is some of the new, let's say, restrictions being brought through, because they hit the COVID random generator that we showed last week, and this is what they got.
Yep, they spun the wheel of fortune.
Yeah, so unvaccinated workers will have to declare their vaccination status to their bosses.
Okay. How will that help?
It doesn't change anything, but whatever. We hit the button and we got that policy, so that's now a thing, apparently. So if we go to the next one as well, we'll also have some new rules for those who are vaccinated. So double vaccinated will have to take daily lateral flow tests. The problem, of course, is that today was announced the NHS doesn't actually have any left.
Oh, yes, I saw that as well. They were saying, oh, you can still go pick them up from pharmacies. Well, maybe some pharmacies. Okay, most of the pharmacies don't have them either.
Literal zero.
Yes.
Not by zeros. Anyway, so not just for the unvaccinated getting given nonsense. So we go to the next one as well, which is the NHS are now preparing to vaccinate children as young as 5. They did advise before, the age group, that, what is it, under 17? The risk-reward wasn't worth it. That's what the scientific
That's what JCVI said, but you need to remember to trust the science.
We went down to 12. We're not going down to 5. You notice this will also change the data on the website. You remember the website is like 90% of the country's been vaccinated, 12 plus.
Oh, yeah, and then they start to broaden out the
age ratings
and stuff. Yeah.
Don't you know, only 85% of the population have been vaccinated?
Well, you need to trust the science, as long as the science is coming from the CEO of the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, so there's the random COVID policy generators that went up. And also the news about the party. So I think we started on 3, we're now on 8 parties. So this is party number 8. Now it has been revealed that Rishi Sunak's team had drinks party during lockdown last year. So he's out of the race.
It's like these are emerging from the fog, like the morning after. Oh yeah, there was an eighth party as well, actually.
Oh, was there? I don't remember.
Oh, maybe nine. Oh god.
I'm still hungover. Give me a Bloody Mary. Anyway, so that's the eighth party, but it also takes Rishi Sunak out of the Conservative leadership race, essentially, because if they do get rid of Boris for being a hypocrite, then well,
they can't just install another hypocrite.
No, they're
at least not such an obvious hypocrite.
Well, they could always try, wouldn't they? Let's not rule it out too much. Anyway, so moving on. So we also have some leaks from inside that are funny. So here's one. One of the reasons Downing Street keeps lying is because of Carrie. Quote, "It's treated like a loyalty test. How far will you go to defend Carrie? If you can show that you're prepared to lie for her, then you pass," says a source within the government. And it's just like, are we actually being run by the fact, do you like my girlfriend or not? If no, get out.
Basically, government run by simps confirmed.
Actually, that is the way our system works. Fantastic. I mean, I ran this question before, but do you remember Mr. May?
Mr. May? No.
Do you remember Mr. May controlling the government? Theresa May's husband?
Oh, no, I don't remember this.
No one cares, because he didn't. And therefore, who would care? But instead, we're being held hostage by Boris's mistress, who became his wife. Anyway, so moving on. So let's go to the next thing, which is that the photos got released of one of the parties, because the media got hold of the names in the photos and decided they wouldn't release the names, because they were probably there.
Yes.
And so they have released at least one of the photos. So this is the Mirror who's released this. And as you can see there, it says Boris Johnson pictured hosting number 10 Xmas quiz in breach of COVID laws. So this wasn't allowed because it was mixing and all the rest of it. You can see two people in the photo. Apparently six were there in the room. And if you can click on the photo, I do not know how this is going to come through on the video very well. But if you look in the image of the telescreen, on the left top, you can see some like black bag, like a bin bag. Completely out of place in this nice ornate room.
Covering an area that you would expect to find perhaps a security camera.
The kind of thing that caught Matt Hancock cheating on his wife and then got him kicked out of government.
Because Downing Street is full of security cameras.
Yeah, but also if they are doing that, I do wonder why he did a Zoom call with the screen on, but whatever. Okay. But this is the first image of one of the parties which he hosted.
Yeah, people have tried, I've seen people trying to downplay the severity of this, just going, oh, well, if it's a Zoom thing, then whatever. It doesn't really matter.
Well, there are these arguments, and we should address them, which is, you know, these people all work together every day of the week. That's absolutely true. It's some people on a Zoom call who really cares. You could argue these if you hadn't locked down the country and refused to allow anyone else to do this.
Yes.
Only you were allowed to do this.
And the excuses being given are all very sensible and very reasonable, but they didn't apply to any of us.
No, they only applied to them. They are allowed to assess the risk to themselves, but none of the plebs. And remember, there are people who were not allowed to go to funerals or even see their loved ones in the last moments because, well, these rules were in place. And they were not allowed to mix, even though they could assess the risk for themselves. I mean, the chap's dying anyway, so, you know, my dad's dying of such and such in the hospital, but you can't go in because of COVID.
I might kill him half an hour quicker.
Yeah, instead, they're all mixing with each other. So that's why, again, we should remind ourselves it is such a serious issue and why the story has blown up. I don't know why they've blurred out the clocks. I don't know how on earth that's going to incriminate anyone, but whatever. Anyway, moving on. So, don't know what that's about. But anyway, to go to the next one, which is the party number 9. So there's more tapes, actually, as well. There's saying the Sunday Times say they have, and photos, so they'll be leaking them.
Presumably given to them by Dominic.
Yes, and presumably they'll be leaking them over time to have maximum impact, so we'll see that as a rolling story. But if we go to the next one, we also have party number 9, because, again, it never ends. I will get party number 50 by, you know, next Friday or something.
Okay, we had multiple parties a day. I admit it. Fine.
Where do you find the time?
It's the season.
Like, I know it's Christmas and all, but, like, I get exhausted from a party over 2 weeks. Like, you do one party, 2 weeks later, I'm like, I mean,
we don't have the chemical advantages that certain members of the...
there are only 4 weekends a month. As John points out, you know, there's only 4 weekends a month, and yeah, he's having 9 parties.
That's why you've got to get him in there, man.
It's Wednesday, let's have a party. It's 9 o'clock. Well, you know, it's 12 o'clock somewhere. That's the life. Okay. I know you hate the job, but... Good God.
And once again, we're just not fueled in the same way that the Tories are, evidently. No. Wink, wink.
Snot, snot. Anyway, so going to the next one, we also have the news at the same time, which is very bad for them, optics-wise, which is the fact that Boris Johnson's flat refurbishment apparently did break the rules. So this is electoral law that was violated, according to a watchdog. So, you know, most of the time, no one would care because, you know, petty corruption, not really a massive issue to
you
most
kind
people.
Of expect it.
Yeah, I, you know, bad and all. shocking opinion. But at the same time, it's like the stuff where he is forcing you to not be able to see your dying family members and yet hanging out at 9 parties a month. Then, yeah, there's one is worse than the other for the average person and should be held accountable for it. Anyway, moving on. So if we go to the next one, which is that he held some pointless conference in which he made a little video.
I tuned into this on Sunday because I was expecting some massive thing because of the way that it was being built up. Yeah, but it was just basically, just get boosted.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't take any questions because all the questions have been, are you resigning? Didn't want to do that. Which expected, I guess. Michael did say, because he watched it, there was one bit that was kind of funny that I didn't pick up on, which is cancer patients will have to wait for their treatment if not enough people get vaccinated.
So yes, I don't believe he said it in such explicit terms, but he did basically say NHS will be postponing all appointments so that they can make way for vaccinations, which seems like a wrong allocation of priority.
So all these people on... You need cancer treatment. They're also backlogged, and they desperately need it now because they've been backlogged. They're all going to die, and instead we're going to become the COVID health system.
Yes. Or great, you could even point to examples of people who potentially have had mental health issues that have been made worse and exaggerated through, as a result of lockdowns, still refusing to be still not getting their treatment that they need.
And this is all in response to Omicron, which we've been through, but let's do it quickly again, which is that not really killing people. So they go to the next one. We have Israel reporting on this, which is quite funny as well. In Israel, as of today, 81% of Omicron cases are triple vaccinated. And yet the Israeli government's still cracking down with new restrictions.
Yep.
Triple vaccinated. Still going in. Okay. So if we go to the next one as well, which is just the symptoms of the whole thing, very mild, according to the doctor who found it and then has called up LBC to be like, I don't really understand what's wrong with you people. Like, she's trying to explain to them, and you got the quote there. There is no reason why you can't trust us when we say to you it's a mild disease. Yeah, but, you know, do you have any Pfizer stock? No? Why do I listen to you?
Yeah, why would I listen to someone who seems to be treating it with some objective sort of standards?
Medical standards instead of... stonk. So anyway, we're going to the next one, which is just the breaking news. So this was happening just before we came out, which is no. It's a very serious virus, as worse as the plague, because Boris Johnson has said that at least one patient has been confirmed to have died with the Omicron variant of the coronavirus.
With doing a lot of heavy lifting in that statement.
So he could have been hit by a bus and had it. You know, it could have been George Floyd and overdosed and had it, or any of that. But nope, this is the one death. We are going to point to that and say that's the reason for all the lockdowns and everything else that is coming and all the restrictions we have currently brought in and the vaccine passports. We have a picture of the suspect. This is a breaking exclusive. It's just an artist's rendition of how it might have gone down, but yep. Who knows? Who knows?
What a mystery. Who shot Mr. Burns, indeed?
It's going to be a three-parter. Anyway, so moving on, we're going to just mention as well the response from one conservative in particular, which was disgusting. So this is a conservative baroness who wrote an article in the Daily Mail, and it was titled, "My view is that we can't force people to have the jabs, but we can force vaccine refuseniks to live a far more difficult, inconvenient, and restricted life. One that will also be more expensive because of mandatory testing."
So we can't force people to have jabs, but we can force people to have jabs.
We can make them miserable and make them poor.
And once again, everyone seems to have got the same update to their scripting at the same time. This term refuseniks just appeared.
Andrew Neil used it the other day in the one we covered. There was the Guardian article this morning that also used it out of the blue.
Yeah, I think there's some independent articles using the phrase as well.
Yeah, I hadn't heard this phrase before, and so I just Googled it. And the thing that came up is, of course, the Jews trying to leave the Soviet Union who got refused by the Soviet Union because they didn't want the Jews leaving. They wanted to persecute them.
Language used to demonize people.
Yes, so they're calling us vaccine Jews, which is... I mean, how do you feel, Andrew and Baroness? I mean, you look like the bad guys. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people make Nazi Germany comparisons, and a lot of the time it's silly, but...
They're really playing into them this time, aren't they?
They're going for it. Yeah, they're really going for it.
They're going, you know what? Fine.
Anyway, so that's the situation in the UK. We will go into the politics in the middle. I just quickly wanted to mention, because it could always be worse, could be German. And yeah, it is worse in Germany. So this is GB News reporting some of the situations there, which are presumably our future as well. So in this case, the guy is listing some of the problems, and he says here, there is ritual humiliation of children in Germany who are asked to go to the front of the class and state their vaccination status daily. Those who are vaccinated are applauded. Those who are unvaccinated being humiliated in front of a classroom.
I must remember not to swear on the podcast, but this is...
The right side of history? The good guys?
Yes, this is cultish. right here. This is disgusting.
Again, children. What was the death rate for children? We couldn't even see it when we put it up on the graph because it was not visible in the scale. Anyway, moving on. So there's some other German stuff that's insane and we have to look at. So this one, job gone, salary gone, unemployment benefits blocked. Employers in Germany can now terminate employees on suspicion of forged vaccine passports.
So it's a witch hunt.
So if you decide, I'm not going to do it, and then you want to just get around the nonsense, and you'd be like, I'll just get a fake one. You have your entire employment purged.
Well, I mean,
fantastic.
The thing of this is it's so broad and vague if it's being employed in such a way as this tweet implies, on suspicion, that if you just dislike, you know, Tim further down the office, I suspect he might have forged vaccination papers. Okay, we can just get rid of him then.
If they're not even papers, they're on his phone, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so there's that. But then the really funny one that went viral is some footage of the German police going around with meter ruler sticks. And as you can see here, they're like testing how far people are apart with their ruler sticks.
What is this?
Is this the future?
Good God.
Do not call it a grave. It's the future you chose. Anyway, yeah. So if you support this stuff, this is what we're going to end up getting. The meter stick police.
What happens if you're further, closer than a meter? They just start beating you with those sticks.
Use a stick.
Yeah, yeah. Like, prod you.
Like the CCP police just start bashing you over the head. Anyway, so we'll move on from that, though. So that's Germany. But there is also, of course, the political shift. And as mentioned, 75 MPs in the Conservative side have all rebelled against Boris Johnson.
Good on you.
This is a full list on The Spectator of every single MP, so you can go and see if yours is there. If he's not, you can shout at him, because that is the system. That's how it's meant to work, apparently. And if he ignores you, well, then we'll have some plans for what to do about that at the end. So you can see all the names here. Steve Baker being the top one, as I believe he's the co-chair of the... Was it COVID research group or whatever else?
Something like that. He's been very vocal.
Yeah, it's basically the sod lockdowns group, which, you know, who could you not support that? But
so far, I do not see...
Tobias Elwood is a name I recognise.
I do not see my Cheshire...
Sean Bailey.
MP from back when I lived up north, and I'm not really particularly surprised. The man was a wet flannel.
Yeah, anyway, so go and check that out. Philip Davis, good guy. Anyway, Ben Bradley, yeah. Anyway, so that's all the names there. And we also have Steve Baker, who seemed to be taking a bit of initiative and going out and trying to make some media spin about this. So we can see an interview he gave here after walking out. And let's play the clip.
Mr. Baker, why are you opposed to the new restrictions, the Plan B restrictions?
It's absolutely essential now that we create a kind of society that's worth living in. I'm determined that that does not mean living under minute and frequently changing rules, and that's why I'll be voting against extending mask mandates, I'll be voting against vaccine passports, and I'll be voting against mandatory vaccination as a condition of employment in the NHS.
But are you worried, not worried about the data from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine saying that we could see tens of thousands of deaths if we don't have these restrictions?
Well, let's be really clear what they've published. They've published modelling, and I've had a lot to say about the models. Unfortunately, they're very often based on assumptions which are wrong and pessimistic. And if people go to the Spectator's data website, they can see very clearly that these models, time and again, are far, far too pessimistic and wrong, but the costs on people's lives are very, very real.
What's your concern? Is that Plan B is only the start? There could be future lockdowns?
Well, we're already seeing that rumour, and this happens time and again. We get drawn into these things bit by bit with shifting goalposts, and that just won't do for the British people.
Yeah. Respect.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right on the models. If anybody's actually looked at them, it's like they just get a ruler.
We've got them. So he mentions the Spectator's website, and we'll have a link in the reading section for anyone who wants to go check that out. And I suppose, John, pick a graph, any graph, because there's loads of different graphs about different scenarios or whatever else that Sage purported. And you can see the red lines, the actual, and then all the other lines are all the different models. And, well, they're all wrong.
Yes.
Like, every single one of them is... deeply wrong.
Extremely
not just off
wrong.
By 10%, but just the world is going to end and then the world didn't end.
Yeah, it's like this one. It's like you basically just go up.
I mean, if we can go to the first one, I think it's the particularly worst one, because you can see hospitalization. So this is the big argument for lockdowns and all the rest of it. The NHS will be overwhelmed. God save the NHS. I will give my lives for the holy NHS or whatever the hell else. And you can see the first graph there being that, oh, what if we do nothing? You'll have this huge spike and it goes up to over 6,000 patients being hospitalized a day. And new. Just didn't happen. I mean, nothing burger by comparison. I mean, even the one where they're like, oh, what if we put all these restrictions in place? Then no, didn't even touch it.
Yep.
Didn't even touch the what if we do restrictions.
Real life always has a... peculiar way of fighting back against what the experts say.
Yeah, But Steve Baker and all the rest of them being in the right here. The unfortunate part of all of this is that, you know, hats off to them, they're doing their right and their duty, but Labour's going to crush everyone's dreams in response, which is that Keir Starmer has confirmed that the Labour will vote for vaccine passports next week. So this is...
What opposition? Excellent job, guys.
Is no opposition. This is, of course, so this is Labour leader Keir Starmer going against Labour MP Keir Starmer, who Labour MP Keir Starmer said that they wouldn't do this. So if we go to the next one, this is just remind ourselves. There should be one in there, but it's just the vaccine passports were not very British, said Keir Starmer back a few months ago. And then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I'm not British. I'm voting for the not British option. Mm-hmm. Rightio. Anyway, but also to mention the fact that these people are a bunch of liars as well. We'll just go, people can look up the Keir Starmer one, we'll just get that next one up, which is the Labour conference. These people voting for vaccine passports. Remember, you've got the Tories all voting for them right now, or at least a huge amount of them. They're all having 9 parties a month, or 15 or whatever else. And then, so they don't believe it's as dangerous as they say.
Oh, yes.
Their actions prove that they don't believe this is as dangerous to say. They've assessed the risk themselves and decided it's not a risk to them. We'll have a third party.
If you want to know how dangerous this whole thing is, I'm not saying anything definitive, YouTube, but if you want to know how dangerous it is, look at how the people behave who should be most in the know.
Well, yeah. And then we have the opposition here at the Labour conference, karaokeing, no masks throughout the entire conference. We all remember, we covered this amazing, but it's just so blatant. They do not care. And yet they will force papers, please, on the rest of the plebs. Not going to be enforced in Parliament, I bet. None of them are going to get checked.
Oh, no, of course.
Anyway, like they have the exemption to masks in Parliament. Don't have to wear them.
Well, yeah, they all showed up with their masks on last week, though, didn't they?
Yeah, for the cameras.
For optics.
Yeah, anyway, some good news, at least, which is Boris Johnson apparently looks broken, which is nice, according to some source. So that's interesting. And we also have some more contenders for leadership. So the first one being Priti Patel, who is considering a run for party leader, which... Yeah. I mean, we're all disappointed with her work in regards to the sea people who are coming over from France.
Yep.
A horror show of a country. They're fleeing.
I want to say anything's better than Boris at this point, but they could always go worse, potentially. But Priti, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how she could do worse than doing nothing and talking about windmills whilst partying. Anyway, so let's move on. We also have the funniest one, the funniest of the funny, which is Matt Hancock. Matt Hancock has talked up his prospects of becoming party leader and PM. Could you imagine? To be honest, kind of base though, like if he ran on the platform of like, yeah, I don't care about the restrictions, clearly. My wife agrees with that. Also,
just ask my mistress.
Make me PM and me and my mistress will get rid of all the restrictions.
You know, if he did come out with that platform...
I mean, look, Matt, you've got nothing else to do with your political career. Let's be frank. So screw it, go for it. Why not? Just run on that.
What's the risk? What's the risk?
Yeah, so that's
imagine
what he should do.
Coming back from disgrace to do that. My God.
Yeah, we're going to be like, yeah, Matt Hancock.
Absolute Chad actually. Matt Hancock.
Yeah, God, these slogans are going to be fun, aren't they? Anyway, so let's go to the next one, which is just the polling, of course, because this is obviously having a real impact on people's perceptions. And you can see Labour somehow now on almost 40%. This
is not good news.
Shower of S. Party that I was really hoping would die before I die, and instead that no, they're up on 40.
Congrats,
fantastic.
Boris, this is what you've done.
Good job, bro.
Labour are not the opposition, they just go, we do everything the Conservatives do, just more.
So somehow worse and yet polling higher. Great. Anyway, so moving on from this, so we'll go to the next couple of things I want to mention. So Dominic Cummings obviously being the guy who's doing all this, and he said something interesting the other day, which is that he was very much of the opinion that they should investigate the lab leak theory, and no one else wanted to, nor do they still want to. As he says there, even now, it is relatively ignored / under-invested. Not interested.
I wonder if there's any vested interests causing that lack of interest.
Anyway, so the last thing to mention, which is if your MP does ignore you, well, there is something you can do, which is what something someone is doing, which is a certain Lawrence Fox, who is doing something interesting. So he went on GB News to talk about his response to all this, because, of course, he is a politician as well now. He runs his own political party, Reclaim, and his funder. I like how open he is about this as well. This is actually quite refreshing. He says, the guy who backs me has given me another £10 million.
Oh, okay.
And he wants me to use that £10 million to start a load of by-elections wherever we can by using recalls. So you can recall an MP in this country if you get 10% of the electorate to sign a petition. It has to be an election.
Great.
So, well, he wants him to use that money to do that. And it's like, cool. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
And if he's open about it, then fair play.
Yeah. Let's play the clip.
bid to try and break down this sort of monolithic, ridiculous system where if you vote Conservatives, you get Labour. If you vote Labour, you get Palestine. And if you vote the Lib Dems, you get people that don't believe in women's existence. My funder, Jeremy Hosking, has doubled his backing so that we would like to trigger by-elections across the UK. So there's 10 million quid out there to trigger by-elections across the UK so people can actually vote for something more commonsensical and reasonable.
Is it really feasible to make any kind of difference as a third party?
Well, the thing is about life is that I bump into people all the time, and it's like they go, I need help. I need somebody to represent me. So we'll see, you know. The only thing one can do is try.
Yeah.
I don't expect it to be an easy thing. These little con artists have been at it for hundreds of years, haven't they? It's a very serious thing. No one knows anything about it. We had a massive party, and now we're going to bring in new restrictions. Don't attack me. Here's the cat on the table. Everyone be quiet.
Good on him.
Yeah. Good impression as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an actor, so you should expect it. But
if you want to get involved in that, if there's an MP in your area that is supporting this stuff and you want to get rid of him, well, I suppose get in contact with Reclaim. And if they're looking for a target seat, I mean, first and foremost, has to be Claudia Webb's constituency.
Yes, please, get rid of her.
Fertile ground to just get this ball rolling, you know? So yeah. I look forward to the updates on that. But yeah, that's that. God, I'm sick of it.
Aren't we all? Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to something a little less blackpillish, we'll be taking a look at the complete and utter failure of Santa Inc. and Cowboy Bebop, the recent Netflix adaptation, which I'm sure Callum has no idea about anything to do with anything regarding Japanese anime or anything like that. Despite Carl's best wishes, I do occasionally enjoy some anime. I believe this is a good medium with which to tell stories. There is a lot of terrible stuff out there, but so is there with every medium. But first, looking at Santa Inc. or Incorporated, you can see here on IMDb, it's been doing some absolute numbers right here. 12,000 reviews, resulting in a 1.2 out of 10. So it's not looking great for those unaware. Santa Inc. is a new show on limited series on HBO Max that is being done with Sarah Silverman and Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen's been making a name for himself recently, as we have covered before, getting into arguments with people on Twitter, which has been a recurring theme throughout most of the year, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, also, I mean, the funniest one being, I love having my car broken into.
Yes, they leave me little treats.
Like a knife.
Yes, I mean, maybe if he does it long enough, he's hoping they'll leave him a little baggie of weed, but
Are these user reviews, by the way, or is that the critics' reviews as well?
IMDb is open to user reviews, so I'm sure there'll be one or two critical reviews in there, but mainly it is user reviews. So people... Oh, yeah, there you go. 804 user reviews, 7 critic reviews. Everything else will probably just be like people leaving a number score. So people are not enjoying this. And if we move along, as a result of that, it's actually the worst-rated show ever on IMDb. I think the only other one near it is some like trashy Hungarian show that has a 1.4. So congratulations, Seth. You guys have beaten something that's so obscure that most people will never have heard of it.
I mean, salutes in the chat for everyone who did the reviews to make sure people were aware.
You've done your duty. Also, just to say thank you, Callum, for gathering up most of the links for the Santa Inc. portion of this, just so that people don't think I can take all the credit for this. It's also not looking good on Rotten Tomatoes, if we move along. You can see here Mythinformed Mike doing his duty and putting Seth Rogen's Christmas special is flopping hard. You love to see it. I think the average user score on here, because for those not watching, it's a screenshot of the Rotten Tomatoes average tomato meter for critic scores is not even there, because there's not enough ratings to calculate a score. And the average audience score is 3%. It has now bumped up to a very impressive 4%.
Ugh. I know, right? Making headway.
They're really making waves with the audiences. But this is interesting because typically speaking, Rotten Tomatoes is used as kind of like a way to see how the mainstream opinion is doing against the opinion of the lowly plebs such as you and I, because the critic score generally reflects the more metropolitan...
The propaganda number.
Yeah, the propaganda number, basically. I mean, I think for a while there was the newer Star Wars films all had very, very high critic scores and absolutely trash audience scores because nobody liked them. So it's a good way to see how the audiences are doing against the propaganda. But then if we move along again, you can see here, this is what was put on Seth Rogen's timeline. the week, I think, or a few days before the show released, I finally get to live every Jewish boy's dream of being effing Santa Claus. Santa Inc. is coming soon, with the trailer attached. Have you watched the trailer, Callum?
I did.
Yes, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to put everybody else through this right now, but let's take a little look at what Santa Inc. has for us. And just as a warning, there is a little bit of swearing in this, because, of course, being Seth Rogen affiliated, it can't help but be crass and rude and obnoxious. So if we play a little bit of a clip here.
When you're a kid, there's only one day a year more special than any other day. And that day is Christmas. And we are the magic behind that day. So let's get these f***ing kids some f***ing presents.
May I present the hardest working man in snowbiz? Good golly, he's jolly. Our own Santa Claus!
Hey, Merry Christmas. Whoa, you're on my naughty list.
More American kids believe in you than they do in vaccines or the Holocaust.
That's great. I mean, disheartening for America, but great for us.
Yep, so that really says all it needs to right there. You can tell exactly the kind of crass, kind of self-aware, obnoxious, smug LA-style humor.
The politicization is so cringe.
Yes, it is just absolute cringe. And if anybody heard me sort of like have a little snigger there, it's primarily because of the fact that it popped up saying, from the creators of Sausage Party, like that's something to be proud of.
Yeah. I mean, I watched Sausage Party when it came out, and I was like, eh, okay, because I was just looking for something to fill the time. But then when I look back on it, I'm just like, you know the orgy scene at the end?
I've not watched it. I don't intend to.
But all the food, so all the characters are food. They all just have a big orgy at the end that's, you know, across sexual lines and all the rest of it. And I thought about it. I was like, that had no reason to be in that film at all.
I don't think the film had any reason to be in the first place.
Well, you could make something, you know, for kids. Well, if it was less crass,
it's not
obviously.
For kids,
but you could make something kind of interesting. But they just had an orgy at the end for like no reason. It was like, oh, yeah, yeah, well, that really was terrible writing.
Because it's lol so random.
Yes.
That's about as far as any thought process goes. And I must make a comment as well, is the fact that for anybody not watching, the whole thing is stop motion animated, and it looks, I can't tell exactly, but it doesn't look like CGI fake stop motion to me. It looks like it's real stop motion. And honestly, the art style's not too bad.
It's the one thing it's got going for itself.
Yeah, it's the one thing it's
got
going. The
guys who made the models.
Yeah, and just, like, if anybody's familiar with how Aardman, you know, the creators of Wallace and Gromit have done things in the past, you'll know the stop motion is really hard to do. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, and it's just sad to me to see presumably hundreds of hours of man time going into producing this when it's just completely let down by the script, the terrible jokes and the smug attitudes of the people who are behind it. But if we move along, the trailer was also put up on YouTube, and actual Justice Warrior, Sean, decided to take it upon himself to install the extension on his Chrome that shows dislikes, because of course YouTube took visible dislikes off.
If you want to fight the power, go and download it.
Yes, absolutely, recently. And there might be a reason that YouTube don't like people seeing the dislikes anymore, because this has a total views on... when he took the screenshot of 683,000 with 3,400 likes and 129,000 dislikes. Oof. Not looking good, is it?
Yeah, but it's also the obvious use of the dislike button, which to tell you whether or not it's garbage.
Yes.
And it is.
And I know that when this first came out, when this first came about, Carl and I were discussing maybe it's due to political pressure from the White House and other such places that they don't want to. Yeah, but it's obviously also to do with these big companies like HBO who are like, we don't want people to see that our shows are trash. Although, to be fair, even without that, you see almost 700,000 views, only 3,000 likes. Doesn't look great.
Do the math.
Yes. And if we move along again, there have been a few cheeky comments left on the YouTube video as well, saying things like, did you know elves have been knocked off at least 109 shelves? The international elf is the world's foremost problem. Obviously very tongue-in-cheek, not supposed to be taken seriously, a little reference, but... If we move along again before we get to Seth Rogen's reaction, other content creators like Lauren Chen have been making comments on it, so check out her coverage if you want a little bit more.
But here's the weird thing. So Seth Rogen's been endlessly talking about white supremacists and white supremacy and all the rest of it, and then he's made this, and there's politicized moments in the advertising and all the rest of it, in which he's very much making a point of, I'm a Jew. And it's like when he messaged Dankula, are you Jewish? And it's just like, no one asked, mate. No one asked.
Yeah.
Like, when he tweeted out that bit there, he's like, I want to be the first Jewish boy to play Santa. It's just like, what the...
Yeah, we don't care if you're Jewish,
but
Seth.
He's having a conversation with the white supremacists, but no one else is involved. So all the normies in that conversation, the people who aren't weirdos like him or the white supremacists, just looking at this going, the hell's wrong with you?
Well, and all of the white supremacists, in big quotation marks.
Yeah, of course, the unironic reality, which are nothing. They are nothing in terms of power and size.
He would probably label that person who left that tongue-in-cheek comment as a white supremacist just because of it, but they're obviously doing it to goad you, Seth, for the love of God.
Because you're a lolcow.
Yes, and if we move along again, we can see that Seth Rogen has descended into, as we know, as we've just mentioned, the Hollywood Guide to Dealing with Online Criticism, which is that everybody who dislikes my show is a fascist and a white supremacist. We really pissed off tens of thousands of white supremacists with our new show, Santa Inc., which is now available on HBO Max, taking a nice chance to shill for it in here. Please read the responses to this tweet for confirmation. And everybody in the responses are just saying, no, it just sucked. It's just terrible. You know, I'm something of an effing idiot myself. Yeah, and people have also pointed out, because I've seen other people's commentary on this, because they've watched it and I could not be bothered. There's no way I'm going to watch this show, which is that all of the reindeer are overt stereotypical depictions of, like, black people.
Well, all of the characters are, in all of the stuff he does. He doesn't really know how to do anything else.
But, I mean, if you're going to start talking about white supremacy, Seth, maybe don't do that, you know? You can see just a few of these comments just ripping into him, saying, like, I don't even think there's 10,000 white supremacists left anymore. I mean, come on.
So we're going to start counting the Indians. I don't know. It's a joke.
Well, we're counting the Asians now, aren't we?
Anyway.
Yeah, if we move along again, we can just see that this is just his typical go-to insult for anybody online nowadays. This is him in response to Ted Cruz. If you're a white supremacist fascist who doesn't find it offensive when someone calls your wife ugly, Ted Cruz is the exact mother effer for you. Why do you have so much time to go on Twitter and just rant at these people, Seth? And you're obviously not, you know, spending too much time looking at the scripts people hand you, but
it's another example where, you know, Ted Cruz there is talking about climate stuff and, you know, what's responsible. Seth Rogen's just like, fascist button.
Yep, white supremacist.
Okay.
All right, if you say so. We've got more examples if we just carry on. Where he just says, what Ted Cruz was attempting is literal fascism, and the people who did are white supremacists, presumably in response to January 6th or something like that. You can kind of expect this thing from Hollywood superstars. And then if we move along again, if you scroll up here, you can see that this one, these people support white supremacy in America. I'd use a different company. This is in response, keep going up just to the top of the screen. This is in response to a tweet from Sandals Resorts.
Some resorts company.
Yeah, some resorts company. Who sponsor Tucker Carlson?
Oh, no.
Got him!
I was about to say, is it because of the white sand beach there? Because, honestly, it could have been.
It might be Seth's demented version of reality where he just looks like only white people can afford fancy holidays. This is racism. Yeah, so he just has so much time to just respond to random things and just comment on people's posts.
But again, it's his mindset. Like, he's obsessed with white supremacy and fascism, and there are loads of white supremacists out there.
He sees himself at the forefront of the vanguard.
But then him making that video and filling it full of this inner dialogue with white supremacists that no one else is really getting or understanding as to why, and comes off really weird, is just like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, he even has a weird way of choosing his targets, because if we move along, you can see there he's tagged Jack Dorsey in one and said Jack doesn't give an F about white supremacy. Are you thinking of the same Jack Dorsey that I am, that ran Twitter and actively censored conservative viewpoints? Okay, if you say so.
We'll ask Donald Trump about it, shall we?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, wait. No, we can't. If we move along again, and there's just more and more examples, all you need to do is go into the advanced search on Twitter, Seth Rogen, white supremacy, and you'll find an absolute mountain of this kind of thing. Nothing better than supporting the white supremacy, a mouthpiece of white supremacy to help Jews.
Because it's Fox News.
Because it's Fox. There you go. And if we move along again, as we've seen, he's not particularly big fan of the criticism that's come about from this.
He took it very personally.
Yes, he did take it very personally. And he and Sarah Silverman did this weird little live action thing, which seems to just be a miserable attempt to dunk on the haters, you could say. So let's take a look at this.
It's perfect. Oh, I love Christmas.
You'd have to hate America not to.
Well, I guess it's time. Let's light this puppy. Tyler?
Who's Tyler?
Seth, it's Saturday. Tyler's my Shabbos goy.
Wow. It's beautiful. Can we have Tyler preheat the oven before he leaves?
Already done.
Wow. That's some...
He says that's some goy for people who...
Yeah, it's just embarrassing. The whole thing is set up to facilitate that one terrible pun. And if you're talking, if that's the kind of strained humor we can get from Seth Rogen nowadays, no wonder everybody hates Santa Inc., let's be honest. And the Shabbos goy, we've
again,
also...
with the dislikes, as John points out there.
Yep, we've got 13,000 dislikes to 209 likes on a 66,000 viewed video.
Why did they get rid of the dislike button?
I wonder why. Yeah. If we move along, they also mentioned the Shabbos goy.
So this is just what they're mentioning. So they say Shabbos goy. Shabbos goy is a term for non-Jews who are employed by Jews to perform certain tasks that Jews are not allowed to do certain times of the holiday. And it's a thing that's existed, but the whole framing of that whole scene, it just comes off like he decided to be like, let's pick as many anti-Semitic tropes as possible, put it in a video, and then we'll put that out. And then when people are like, what the hell's wrong with you? We'll just call them white supremacists.
Yes.
Like, that seems to be the strategy he was thinking of.
Tactic. He's like setting himself a trap, and he's like, gotcha!
Yeah. I mean, you know, him and Sarah Silverman, you know, I'm not going to get into the conversation. Most people can do it for themselves. But it's just, on all kinds of levels, it just looks like he wanted to have a chat with, like, white nationalists or something. And everyone else around him is just like, the hell are you blowing everyone's money on this for? I mean, like, the canned laughter, for example. Everything in there, but...
It's terrible. Who thought that was a good idea? Carl's pointed out that this is the sort of thing that's only made for the people making it.
Yeah.
That's the audience that it's appealing
Same
to.
Same with the plus size stuff.
Other insulated Hollywood executives like
Do
themselves.
You have the clip about the feminist agenda bit as well?
Oh, I didn't include that clip, but yes, they make overt reference to the idea that, oh, this show's got a little bit of a feminist agenda.
No, like the main character says it. She's like, yes, and a what is it? An overt use of a feminist agenda or whatever is the line. And it's just in the middle of the show. It's just like, this is awful. This is just cringe.
It's just embarrassing. Have you heard of subtlety, guys? Yeah. You might want to think about looking that up in a dictionary. So now if we move beyond Santa Inc., we can take a look into another show which has failed spectacularly, purely due to bigotry, of course. So there is a recent release of the Netflix edition, well, adaptation of Cowboy Bebop, which is a beloved Japanese anime, which is one of the most popular and most well-regarded in the whole medium. And fans and cast have been devastated by Netflix cancelling the live-action adaptation after just one season. So Netflix devastated cast members, crew, and fans, all three of them, by cancelling the highly anticipated live-action Cowboy Bebop series after just one season. The decision comes less than a month after the spin-off's premiere on November 19th, so it didn't really take them long to make that decision. Based on the 1998 anime cartoon of the same name, the series followed on blah 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 while they try and escape their troubled past. I wonder why it was that fans hated it. Could you throw out any suggestions to why people might hate a Netflix reimagining of a beloved television show?
Did they make everyone black? Did they make everyone gay? Did they make everyone kids and then make it sexual?
Oh, God.
It is Netflix, so it's one of those three.
I wouldn't put it past them. No, but they did trans a character.
Ah, there we go.
There you go.
That was the one I missed out.
It was in that realm. You were getting close. So if we move along, you can see here there is an article
Netflix
from The Gamer, because they have such a vested interest in all this, saying Cowboy Bebop's trans representation is fantastic. People on the old interwebs have been pretty mean about Cowboy Bebop. In any case, I'm not here to talk about the show as a whole right now, but to point out the fantastic trans representation on the show. In some ways, it's the closest I've ever seen to myself on screen. Why are you so narcissistic about this? Why does anybody want to see themselves purely on screen? I'm sorry, but you're probably a pretty boring person in real life. I would rather watch someone interesting than someone who is there purely to represent real people. I really hate that argument. But
the kind of person who defines themselves by their essential characteristics, that's it.
Yes.
And it's like, right, okay, I can see them, so all I need to know about your personality is what I can see, and then I'm done.
Yeah, basically. Right. And the point of fantasy, again, is to escape yourself and put yourself in the shoes of other people, but these people are chronically unable to do that. This comes through the character of Gren, who was present in the original anime, though in a less representative way. Gren wasn't problematic, but I'd struggle to call him trans originally, because he wasn't, and he didn't need to be a representative of anything, because he was a character, as far as I'm aware. Gren is a man with gynecomastasia, or I've probably pronounced that completely wrong, which basically means he has breasts. This is the result of an experimental drug given to him while he is in prison. While these are an obvious female characteristic, he's referred to by male pronouns and just seems like a man with breasts. Like that's some kooky futuristic thing as a way of highlighting that Bebop exists beyond our time in a more interesting, than spaceships or robots. I had no issue with the original Gren, but I didn't particularly relate to him. Okay, that's your problem. Also, this is an example of Netflix looking at a character who has suffered unethical treatment as a prisoner that's caused them to grow breasts and gone, ah, a trans person. Is that really a great look, Netflix? Okay, but people weren't particularly happy with the depiction of the character. If you just scroll back up to the top, you can see that's what the character looks like in the new version, very much going with the non-binary aesthetic. And then the actress who plays a beloved character called Faye Valentine came out, if you go along now, with a clip where she was not particularly friendly towards fans of the anime who didn't like the outfit change that they had done of Faye, because Faye in the original, as you can imagine, is a typical anime-looking woman where she's wearing a skimpy outfit. And she came out and posted this on her Instagram story, if you want to play the clip, John.
Hey guys, so as you know, our Cowboy Bebop first look dropped today, which was so exciting, and I just wanted to address a couple of things that sort of keep coming up in the comments amongst fans. First, I wanted to apologize to the fans that I did not anatomically match the Faye Valentine character. 6 foot double D size breast, 2 inch waist. You know, they looked everywhere for that woman and they couldn't find her. It's kind of weird. So they just went with my short ass. I know. Am I right? You know, there was talk about, like, can we put Danielle in a time machine?
Yeah, I think you can pause that now because it says all it really needs to. Once again, setting yourself off on a great foot to start off with, isn't it? Just coming out and insulting all of the fans for being upset that the thing that they love so much is being trashed, basically.
Turned into a skin suit.
Yeah, turned into the progressive skin suit. And after that, obviously it's been cancelled now. Who would have seen that one coming? One of the people who was involved in the production has been going a little bit down the rabbit hole on Twitter. So if we move along, we can go through these quite quickly. So Naomi Markman, who I believe was a script coordinator, she wasn't a writer, but she was like involved in the script process, is saying, not to rub it in your faces, but as the individual who's read the Cowboy Bebop season 2 scripts more than anyone else in the world, oh God, you're missing out. This is the pure Wojak of the crying face in, with the smug face mask on. Like, it would have been really good, guys. I swear it really would have. If we move along again, we can see, my dear troll friends, you do realize that literally hundreds of people lost their jobs today, right? Jobs we loved and cared about were going to be emotional. Also, most of, if not all of us, found out today with the public. Yeah, you all lost your jobs. Sucks, but that's the market in action. Nobody wanted this. Nobody liked it. Everybody trashed it. That's what happens. Move along again. Just because you don't like the food at a restaurant doesn't mean you would celebrate when it closes down. You wouldn't mock the waiters or chefs. I beg of you to touch some grass and give someone you love a hug. Well, sorry, I would celebrate if they served me a turd on a plate and then spat in my face when I told them that it was terrible, that I wasn't going to eat that. Move along again. My entire life was turned upside down less than 12 hours ago, along with hundreds of my dearest peers. Consider having a goddamn ounce of compassion or empathy. No. Move along.
Sincere response and a good response.
Yeah, it's just no. How about that? The vast majority of Bebop fans, anime or live action, or both, are cool, by the way. Obviously, I very much doubt the sincerity of that. And then if we just move along, we can see a screenshot of her bio. Revolutionary leftism, restorative justice, eco-anarchism, raging lesbian, she, her.
Never hire anyone who comes to your company looking like this.
Yes. Netflix, if you wonder why these shows consistently fail, this is why.
Hello, I'm a communist. Get out. You're not being hired.
No, anyway. No, thank you. If we move along, the thing is as well, Netflix has a number of terrible original shows on their platform that get terrible reviews, like this, Another Life, which if you scroll down, you might be able to see the reviews for it. It had a 5.2 out of 10. This still got a second season. Normally Netflix just releases it and immediately highlights a second season. Not this time. And if we move along again, one of the reasons for Netflix being able to do that is because in the past they have not reported their viewership numbers for any of the shows that they've released. They've always kept that close to their chest because obviously if a show fails or a film that they've done fails, they don't want that people to know, or they don't want potential future investors to know, because it might scare off, you know, big names who might star in their next original project. However, they are starting to do it now. For some reason, primarily because it seems that there have been some big shows or films come out that have got lots of hours. They are measuring it kind of weirdly. They're doing it in amount of hours watched rather than individual viewers, which seems like a way to puff up the numbers a bit, especially when you've got certain shows that are like 8 to 10 hours per series to watch. So you could have one person, which counts as one viewer, watch that whole show, and that counts as 10 hours. So it obviously buffs up the numbers. But they are starting to do this now. But basically, even if a Netflix show is terrible and nobody watches it, you're still paying your subscription. You're still paying your subscription so you can watch The Office and Breaking Bad. So they get to just churn out these terrible, terrible remakes, reboots, and whatever. But overall, Netflix and HBO and Seth Rogen, please listen. This is the lesson. Do not antagonize your fans. Don't deface cultural traditions like Christmas with trendy, edgy humor. And most of all, try for the love of God to make a good show.
This reminds me, we had a friend of mine in, and he works at a company I can't mention, but he was just complaining, and the reason he got into politics was just the endless like propaganda on him from the diversity department. And his whole response to the whole thing was just, can we just sell things?
Yes.
Can we just make some money?
Yeah, that's like, what we're here for the love of God, please.
Like, his endless complaint was not, I want right-wing stuff or, you know, this or that. It was just, can we just do my job?
Right. Anyway. Yeah, I know. I mean, Razorfist was on stream recently talking about it. He said, you know, look into Gramsci, whatever, who basically was just sort of like, everything needs to be political from the communist mindset so that people can never have an escape from the political. Mm. And that's what you see when you see them taking, when you see literal communists taking over pop culture.
Anyway, just want to mention the stream seems to be down. I don't know if we can do anything about that. I don't know if any of this is going out right now.
Oh, is it?
But if not, then sorry, we'll be in the VOD and we'll see what we can do to fix that in future. But anyway, without further ado, let's get into the last segment. I still can't pronounce that. What is it? Bebop?
Bebop. Yes, right. Bebop, like doo-wop.
Yeah, okay. So,
not that you know what that is.
No. Last thing to mention, so... The unflushable turd woman, otherwise known as Hillary Clinton, has popped back up and is now not going down again. And this is because Meghan Markle has gone away, so this one's back here. And she decided to give some interviews, which were very cringe, and I thought we'd just have a laugh at her expense, because she is a joke.
Always
and
a good time.
So here's the interview. Hillary Clinton predicts Trump will run again in 2024, calling it a make-or-break point for the nation and a chance to stand up to his lies and disinformation. He's going to destroy the country, guys, if he becomes president. He was president.
Just like he destroyed the country back in 2016.
Yeah, but he was president, unlike you, for 4 years, and did a good job, unlike your successor. Anyway, so she says in here... and she said there would be dire consequences for the country if Trump won again in experts' release on the Today Show on Friday. We're not going to play the clip because they'll probably get copyright struck anyway, and who really gives a toss? It's just reading her voice, I guess. So if I were a betting person right now, she says, I'd say Trump is going to run again, she said. But I want people to understand that this is a make or break point. Are we going to give in to all these lies and disinformation and this organized effort to undermine our rule of law and institutions? Or are we going to stand up to it, she said.
She has not learned a single lesson since 2016, has she?
At least she's just said, by the way, I'm a woman. You know, at the end of that sentence.
They probably cut her off before she got there.
Yeah, well, she says it in a bit, actually, so I'm certain myself of that. But also, just everything there, just BS, the lies and disinformation point, I'm actually kind of disgusted by, because you endlessly get this from dictators. So if we go to the next one, we can have a certain slime man Erdogan here, who decided to come out with this recently and say social media has turned into one of the main threats for developed democracies like us. Disinformation has become a global security issue. From TRT World there, the state-funded media.
X to doubt.
That if you're not a Westerner, perhaps you don't know, they endlessly fund propaganda in the West. Like, I get on my YouTube thing or wherever else, videos from TRT that are sponsored that are just propaganda about how Turks did nothing wrong ever, or that the West is bad. That's the two lines.
I mean, you're a big fan of propaganda.
Love propaganda.
A big consumer of propaganda, but even it's even too much for Callum, for goodness sake.
It's my most interesting thing, like, that I find interesting, right? But it is also just so blatant with TRT World, and you can see it with Al Jazeera and all the rest of it, the pathetic crap they put out after Charlie Hebdo, for example, being the worst. But again, the endless whining about disinformation, I'm increasingly seeing as just something, the kind of thing dictators say. And, well, naturally also the case.
I see it as almost as a dog whistle at this point.
Sure, the authoritarian types.
Yes.
Because the thing is, like, if there is misinformation in the world, and you're someone who believes in free speech, you don't really care, because it's not a threat. The truth will always win out. If you allow the world to have all of the conversations possible, and all the battle of ideas, and the marketplace of ideas, and
that would mean free speech.
All of those things.
And we don't really have that.
You end up with the truth. You end up with the best. That's the theory. And instead, you have people like these authoritarians coming out and being like, well, disinformation could spread. Of course, the other main example that comes to mind is Chernobyl, because there's a great scene in the HBO series, if someone hasn't watched it. If we go to the next one here for the 3.6 Rodgen scene, there's a scene where the local party turn up and turn off all the phone lines because they don't want to spread misinformation. And the same thing happened in Wuhan, in which they cut off the internet and censored people and arrested doctors to stop the spread of misinformation.
They also did the same in Cuba earlier this year during the protests, didn't they?
Yeah, so whenever I hear Hillary Clinton talk about misinformation, I mean, I think she was it might have been Mark Zuckerberg, but she was like the first person to make fake news a main thing, because she was alleging that the only reason Donald Trump beat me is because fake news was out there,
no,
convincing
I thought...
people of misinformation. And then Donald Trump took it to smack her with.
Now, I thought Donald Trump in the lead up to the election was already talking about the mainstream media and using the term fake news.
He may have been, but I do remember, like, afterwards her using it.
Oh yeah, they just adopted it straight after.
I might be wrong, but anyway, I seem to recall her saying something like that.
She probably did say that he was spreading fake news, and then he just came straight back out with a no you.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's the misinformation stuff, which I find disgusting. It was also the point she says undermining the rule of law. The party of BLM says what? Anyway, let's go to the next one. So back to the article here, in which he says, the interview ties with NBC's new Masterclass streaming platform, which features lessons from luminaries of all walks of life. So she's going to go and lecture you on something. Clinton revisits her 2016 defeat in The Power of Resilience, in which she grows emotional talking about her late mother as she reads the speech she hoped to deliver if she had won. She's asking you to pay for that.
Yep.
She wants you to pay her money. A lot of money. She's made millions, her and her husband, but that's not enough. I need more.
I love seeing Hillary Clinton posting L's online, but I wouldn't pay for it.
Again, I mean, that's why I call her the unflushable Turk. Who cares what she has to say?
You lost, Hillary.
The power of resilience. Here's how to lose again and again and again and get back up. Right, okay. Like, there's no like end of that arc. It's just continuing to lose afterwards as well. So,
yep.
Anyway, so
have to be resilient when you lose that much.
Yeah, in case she's watching, we'll mention the best tweet ever, and it still rings in my ears. Let's go to the next one.
Here it is.
So we just have Hillary Clinton, happy birthday to this future president, and she wasn't president. She fucking lost. Anyway, just I love that. I love how she hasn't taken it down either. She never did. Anyway, moving on.
It stands as a monument.
Yeah, we have a clip here of her reading out her speech that she would have given, and it's really crap, and I don't really want to go through it, because it's literally just her being like, did you know one day women can be president?
Yeah, it's just not you.
Yeah, she's reading to her mother, and she says in the line, like, as unbelievable as it may be, your daughter can become president. And she's like, oh, fuck off. This is why you lost, because people can't stand identity politics.
This was the only point that she kept coming back to, really. I mean, wasn't it basically her slogan? It's just like, it's my turn.
I presume because the Dems had seen Barack Obama run and be like, black guy in the White House. And it's like,
woman in the White House?
Yeah, not so much. The American people were like, well, not that.
That's a step too far, thank you.
That's how the Dems see the world. Anyway, so let's get back to the article, in which in here they say, So, oh, sorry, I wanted to mention the masterclass here, which you can see.
If you're interested.
If you want to waste some money.
If you want to learn how to lose things resiliently.
Yeah, anyway, so going back, so we go back to the article. In the interview with Wheel Geist, she confirmed that she did not, I can't say foreign
I think
names.
That's Willy Geist.
No, man.
That sounds like a euphemistic.
Willy Geist. I'll show you my Willy Geist after this. Anyway, so she confirms that she... She confirms that she did not write a concession speech. So that speech she just read out, and the one she wants you to pay her to read, she didn't even write herself. That's the best part. Well,
I mean, they never do, though, to be fair.
Donald Trump did.
I mean, Donald Trump, like, he scribbled some notes on his arm while waving them around.
He's writing it as he speaks.
I mean, good on him.
Do you really think he wrote down, I'm going to come out and be like, sorry to keep you waiting, complicated business? Like, no, he's just making up crap.
That's what I liked about him, though.
Well, he's also competent. You know, I don't have to have someone else write me something because I'm so dementia-ridden. I'd forgotten how to write
but
and also how
again,
to speak.
Like, 99% of politicians will have their speeches written for them by somebody else.
Yeah, sure. But, I mean, your speech, your, you know, success speech... You didn't even bother to write.
It took a lot of resilience to take credit for somebody else's speech.
It also took a lot of resilience to hold on to it for like 4 or 5 years. And then to be like, well, you know.
Well, if I ever feel like running again.
I could do with another 100 grand. I'll pay someone to make people pay for me to read it. Right. Okay. Anyway. So she says in here, I've met women who were born before women had the right to vote. They've been waiting 100 years for tonight, she says in the speech.
I doubt that, Hillary.
I am so glad she lost. I am sorry. Could you imagine if that narrative became the winning narrative? Every candidate afterwards would be like, did you know we're going to have a Jew in the White House? Did you know we're going to have an Hispanic in the White House? Just every time.
Well, I mean, let's be honest.
Identity politics, every day.
Let's be honest, though. I wouldn't be surprised if on the next election, next turnaround for the elections, that will just be the Democrat platform.
Yeah. We have someone who doesn't have dementia in the White House, so let's go for that. Anyway, so she says in here, I've met little boys and girls who don't understand why a woman has never been president before. Now they know. What, you looked in the mirror, did you? Like, I don't understand why she's never been president. You were the one who ran and lost on that basis. Because you campaigned on, did you know I'm a woman? And no one liked it. Because I'm not voting vagina 2020.
Hillary Clinton smashing hopes and dreams.
Now they know, and the world knows, that in America, every boy and every girl can grow up to be whatever they dream. Even president of the United States. It's so cringe-inducing. But, I mean, this is the bizarro world of, what if... they had got the win, let's say, and you could have seen what would have happened. She would have just been, for the next 4 years, more vagina.
Well, how would Hillary have taken, for instance, North Korea v. South Korea?
Did you know? Did you know that I'm a woman, Kim Jong-un? Yeah, she brings shame on your family. Would have been the North Korean response, let's be honest. I love the joke from, what is it, The Dictator? You ever seen that movie?
I've not.
Oh, he gets married to this Jewish lady, which is funny as well. But then afterwards, they're doing an interview, and she's like, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. And he goes, oh, you're having a boy or an abortion? anyway, but also just, did you know I'm a grill? I don't care. No one cared. And that's why we didn't like you. Because all you cared about was essential characteristics, not being competent. Anyway, so if we go to the next one on this, I also wanted to mention, which is something my dad sent me recently that I wasn't aware of, which I found really funny, and I thought we'd include it for this unflushable turd, which is back in 1998, of course, there was the scandal of her husband cheating on her, and she had to go out and be like, it never happened, I swear. There's cum on her dress. My cum. Like,
it was lady cum, thank you very much.
No defense. But there's a really funny part here. So First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton yesterday launched a vigorous counterattack on behalf of her husband's belated presidency, declaring that the president is a victim of a, quote, politically motivated prosecutor allied with a, quote, vast right-wing conspiracy.
I should have known.
It was a conspiracy theory that Bill Clinton was cheating on you. Was the cum also a conspiracy theory? I don't know. Okay.
They planted that cum.
Yes. Have it tested. It doesn't have his DNA. It does. Okay, well, they stole it from him.
Yes. They snuck in one night.
Just a reminder that politics has always been a comedy. Anyway, so she continues. She said she knew him better than anyone in the world and still loved him and fully believed his denial of the allegations that he had entered into a sexual relationship with a White House intern and had urged a young woman to lie about it. I mean, I love how we can look back on past and just know what the truth is as well. It's always nice. But the thing is, she didn't even drop this. So I didn't know this was the origin of like her talking about right-wing conspiracies. And it also makes me think whenever you hear right-wing conspiracy from now on, or should have been from 1998,
yep,
just the truth. Like, it's just true.
And they are interchangeable with one another now.
Yeah, like Hunter Biden's laptop. It's a right-wing conspiracy thing.
It's true.
It literally turned out to be true, just like the cum on the dress. Anyway, so we go to the next one, which is when she was campaigning.
They must have got the cum on the dress from where they got those pictures of him with hookers.
The hooker was a Veritas journalist. Yeah. Got a little, like, I don't know, test tube out. Yeah. We'll plant on Lewinsky on him. Stupid thing to say.
They snuck in and jerked off Bill in his sleep.
Yeah. I don't know if we're like, yeah, here's the podcast of the news from 1998 here, but it's like,
it's just funny,
it's
man.
Just funny. Anyway, so going forward, so because I didn't realize this was a connection. When she was running 2016, she said there was a vast right-wing conspiracy against her, and now it's even better funded. Well, I don't know, they're paying the Veritas journalists more now. So
I was going to say, it must have been a pretty big operation to get Bill like that.
Oh, boy. Anyway, yeah, and the last thing here being a mention that she thinks that Donald Trump coming to power will be the end of the Republic. Because, fuck off, woman. Hillary Clinton, if Trump wins in 2024, it could be the end of our democracy. Very much our democracy. As in ours, not yours.
Yep.
As well. But we'll have to end that there. Let's go to the video comments.
So Lotus Eaters, I have been noticing that you've been getting a lot of more famous people paying attention to you guys, therefore bringing a lot of eyeballs to your website. My question is, do you have a backup plan in case, there's a effort to basically take you guys down? Because it'd be a shame if all ended up falling apart. You don't have to give us details, but just hopefully y'all are at least alert to the fact that we're still being persecuted.
Yes, I mean, that is what the website fundamentally is, because the weakest point of contact, and is for every content creator, I don't want to get too into it because I don't know what's improper, but for the Sargon brand, let's say, the weakest point of contact was the YouTube channel, and that if they had purposely gone after that in the same way they did with Steven Crowder or anyone else, they could have done huge damage. Now with the website, the funding aspect of the whole operation goes through the subscriptions, as everyone can see, and therefore we're far more secure on that front. But also, you know, the videos go here, all the alt tech, all the rest of it as well. So we're far more insulated than we used to be. There are, of course, you know, what ifs, but we've got backups, or we can think of backups when these things come around. So,
yeah.
I mean, we also are careful to try and make sure we can maximize reach whenever. I mean, for example, with the YouTube clips, if we know it's going to upset them, we make it an exclusive on lotuseaters.com in the podcast or on the alt tech. And do what we can to make sure those things don't happen. But I'll leave it there because I don't know what how much information you wanted or what's proper to give. So let's go to the next one.
Also, so it nice turns microphone. Out this is how both me and Oil are respectively treating TF AllSpark when it comes to commissions. And all I can say is, TF AllSpark, you're a good sport about it. You're a good sport. So yeah, I'd recommend his commissions if nothing else, because he's a good sport with painful ones. But at a certain point, if you start making it more pricey, if you start making it more painful, he starts to make it more pricey. So give and take a bit, give and take. But yeah, he's a good sport.
I have no idea what that's a reference to.
Me neither. I assume some artist is taking commissions to do spicy memes.
TF AllSpark's another one of the subscribers. So, like, okay, conversation between subs, which is always... It's interesting always that it happens anyway.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, I see the streams back up and the chats there, so I just wanted to mention as well, we don't know what went wrong today. I saw some people wondering if we're cheaping out on the equipment or something. We're not, so we don't know what's going wrong there, but we'll try and get that fixed so it doesn't happen again. But anyway.
Carl's not in today, so maybe our power is waning.
Power level's down. Anyway.
Yep.
So let's go to the next one.
So recently in my workplace, who I shall not name, denied me holidays, which I had informed them of at the start of my employment, which I was going to use to do charity streams for people who are alone at Christmas, you know, peak suicide time. They've stonewalled me and everyone's pointing at everyone else saying it's their problem. The lesson here is don't ever work through an agency, kids. I don't know, maybe Lotus Eaters will end up with a job opening soon.
I must get out of here. I must get free.
Yeah, I mean, best decision I ever made was applying here, so, you know. I'm really sorry to hear that your agency has done that, because that really, really sucks.
I was about to say an employment lawyer should be able to fix that, but if you're with an agency, I don't know what the details are. So,
Agency. From friends who've worked with agencies before, they can be a bit tricky. So,
Anyway, I hope you're all right, and I hope everyone doesn't off themselves this Christmas, I guess, considering that's the point in the charity streams there.
Wow.
Stick around, folks.
That's a really edgy stance you took there, Callum.
Don't kill yourself. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
Just to show that not everything is completely horrible where I am, this is Freya, my shared custody dog. She actually belongs to my elderly neighbours, but I get to walk her and play with her whenever I want, and I take care of her when they're on trips, so it works out for everyone, especially Freya, and thank you for worrying about me. I'm fine, I promise, so thank you.
Well, I mean, there's a reason not to kill yourself. Freya would be upset. You can see that. I love dogs.
There you go.
That's pretty cute.
It's a shame she can't throw out the sucks to be you guys anymore, but I suppose sucks to be all of us at this moment in time.
Yeah, well, I love how we can all dunk on her, though, because she spent all that time being like, Denmark, anyway. I was going to mention something about Volani Vegas, but I won't, so.
Okay, all right.
Hey there, Lotus Eaters. I'm working out of town today. And we're doing an inside job, which is nice because it's snowing a lot. There was about an inch of snow on the ground when I got here, and now it's about 6 inches. We'll see what it looks like when we pack up to drive on the highway back home. Well, it's 4 o'clock now, turned to rain, so snow's not that impressive. Got to drive 50 kilometers to get back home, so hopefully the highways aren't too bad.
All right, cool.
Oh, yeah. It looks peaceful.
Yeah,
there's something very very relaxing about the sight of like fresh snow falling, I find. But also, were you out without gloves on, you madman?
I didn't look too far from his house, so
still.
Anyway, yeah, I miss the snow too. You know, I am going to mention the Fallout New Vegas thing just because.
Go on,
It's on my mind, and I want to mention it. So, have you played Fallout New Vegas?
Yes.
So, did you get the DLC where you go up into Zion?
Sadly, I never completed Fallout New Vegas, nor did I get the DLC, primarily because Fallout New Vegas, I'm sure you're aware, is a notoriously buggy game.
Crashes.
Yes, I got to a point where I was 15, 14 at the time, so don't judge me for being so stupid with this. Managed to get to the lucky, 38 casino, saved my game, killed Mr. House, came back out again, and every single time I came out, the game completely crashed, black screen, no way of getting out, and I had no saves before going in there.
On the PC version, there's a mod literally called Anti-Crash Mod.
Well, I was on PS3 at the time, so there's my fault.
Yeah, it's a pain. Anyway, so one of the DLCs is you go up to Zion, which is the... I can't remember the state, actually, but it's just north of Las Vegas, that... like the Grand Canyon, right?
Oh yeah.
And there's all these different like tribes there, and there's a really interesting story. Like I can't think of a story I've read that's better than this, quite frankly, of this guy called the Survivalist. And he was living before the war. He used to go up into the canyon to do like survival stuff because that was his gig.
Yeah, that's what he did.
And he's driving home and the bombs fall and kills everyone in Salt Lake City. His wife and kids are all dead. And like the old couple next to him get blinded by the flash. He goes out and he ends up shooting them in the head to save them the horrors of the post-apocalypse. And you read like the stories, and I'm not going to ruin all of it, and people should really look up the Survivalist, Fallout New Vegas, if you want to see. And it's really compelling because he has to live with like some kids turn up at one point. He has to take care of them without letting them know he exists. There are some guys from Vault 22 who just murder everyone. There are some Mexicans who turn up, and he's never really interacting with them, so he becomes a bit of like a ghost figure.
Okay.
But it's a really compelling story in the sense that you really, really like him, and the only wish you had for him is that he gets the courage to commit suicide. Which is a really weird feeling.
It's pretty dark.
But it's because he's been through so much hell. You read about like he goes back to like visit his wife and kids to try and find their bodies so he can bury them, and there's just a crater. There's just nothing.
They've been atomized.
Yeah. Anyway, so I don't know, but it's just a story that's been on my mind, but people should go and read it. And he's just like, oh God, like everything could always be worse. Anyway.
What was all that in reference to?
Oh, just we were talking about suicide.
Okay, so it just came to mind. All right.
Yeah, so if you're being bad, go and read about the Survivalist and then realise, not so bad.
You could be stuck in the post-apocalypse.
Yeah, anyway.
We're not quite there yet.
I'm working on Fallout New Vegas, as people might wonder, so, keep the memes coming. Let's go to the next one.
Hey, Lotus Eaters. I'm in Newtown with my friend Oliver. Hey. And came to see the wokest city in Sydney.
To say Newtown is leftist is an overstatement. It is rampant with SJW rhetoric, and you will not go 5 minutes without seeing a gay pride flag. The place is a bit like LA minus the crack addicts. We see all sorts of weirdos here, like this guy.
Newtown was also the epicenter of the anti-freedom protest.
Okay.
There's an anti-freedom protest.
I do love your point, though, about
suicide
the,
is looking the pride, better and better.
The pride flags and whatnot. It's beautiful to see from an outside perspective because you can tell it's cope. That's all it is. It's like in Brazil where they cover up the houses with different colors so it looks prettier.
Oh,
the North Koreans with their propaganda everywhere to try and cover up the poverty.
Oh, yeah. If you zoom out far enough, it just looks like a hellhole.
Yeah.
And also, was that a big mural on a wall of a woman straddling the back of a man, a nice subservient man? Because that's what women are looking for, isn't it?
Leftist spaces, anyway. Although, you... No, I won't tell that story because that's too crude. Let's go to the next one.
I know we all love our guns and everything, but I got something a little bit different. Yep. I went with this over a gun just for the simple fact I live in a mill house. Those things are all zigzaggy and everything, no line of sight. So, yeah, that's what I went with. I also went with something that stood out instead of some matte black thing that looks like some spec op. I'd rather someone crap themselves.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
there's fantastic. Some style right there.
Is that pattern? Does that mean it's Damascus steel or not? Because I've seen like other.
I don't know if it's Damascus steel. It's definitely a way of folding the steel, isn't it? But it looks very distinctive.
Yeah, cool knife. Enjoy. Let's get the next one.
Horsey, this is not the time.
Oh shit. This is a big wolf.
I'm afraid. Oh, no.
What it's like to be an average American, then.
I can only assume.
All right, well, yeah. The Lotus Ears, sponsored by
Red Dead 2.
Let's Plays.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kit Kat.
To be fair, there is something great about horse fail compilations from Red Dead 2.
Yeah, although I do actually quite like watching stuff like that, so yeah, enjoyable. Let's go to the next one.
Hey guys, Tony D and Little Joan here. Just wanted to ask kind of a fanboy question. What do you guys do behind the scenes to get yourself organized? I know you can't give me all the details, but are you working 9 to 5 or do you have like, you know, rotating shifts of news people constantly working? Are you scheduling things out way in advance? Or are you just like picking host and co-host on the fly? Give me the rundown behind the scenes inside baseball at the Lotus Eaters in 30 seconds or less.
To be honest, I feel like Carl wouldn't want us to because he spoke about it. It might destroy some of the magic, and I don't want to do that because that...
Yeah.
It seems kind of crude. I can answer some of those questions, though. Like
we don't
makeup.
Have a makeup guy.
Does it look like I have a makeup guy? Are you
We're naturally this beautiful. Thank you very much.
Wouldn't describe myself that way, but anyway, so... yeah, I don't want to go into too much because I don't know what Carl would actually like us to say.
No, I think we should keep some magic behind the curtain.
Yeah, it's not your fault either. I get the curiosity. But sorry. We'll leave it there. We'll go to the next one.
I don't think that globalism was ever just about trying to get rid of national borders. I think it's about trying to remove all human limits. They use political and economic methods to try to get rid of national boundaries, they use technology to try to get rid of physical and biological boundaries, and they use social methods to try to get rid of moral boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, this is, as Carl said, about the term inclusion that they're obsessed with. Whenever they say the word inclusion, they do not mean everyone can join it. They mean the destruction of barriers to keep anyone out. Which is why inclusion to them means also including paedophiles in the discussion or movement.
It's also something I've been on a bit of an Austrian economics kick recently and reading some of that. And there was a discussion in one of the things I saw recently, which was that when they distort language to talk about freedom, when others do that, they're not talking about what you and I would talk about, which basically means freedom from, such as freedom from the government. They're meaning freedom to. Freedom to do whatever they want.
It's always freedom for them and no one else, because that's the other point, which is that they view you as property that they own, and therefore they're free to do with you as well. So make you all take the vaccine, or make you all work in the mine, or the gulag, or whatever else, to take all your property and redistribute as they see fit.
Or to fiddle with you. as my leftist pedo video discusses.
Yeah, and that's their movement.
And you can even see that recently. One of the things that I'm maybe going to cover soon is the CNN guy, John Griffin, who turned out was a diddler.
I didn't get to catch the commenter's name there, but on the money, I reckon.
Good point.
Anyway, so let's go to the written comments on the site. So first one's here about the rebel MPs. So Matthew Hammond says, "This is nice that there is a rebellion of MPs against Boris and the madness. Is there enough for them to stop it?" So if the Labour Party decided that this doesn't go far enough, we're not voting for the bill, or, you know, we can't vote for a man who violated his own policies or some other such spin, yes.
If they had some kind of principle.
If they were the opposition, yes.
Yes.
But unfortunately, because the Labour Party now have come out and said, we will vote with Boris on this because, you know, fuck Britain, frankly. So I shouldn't swear, but honestly.
But Carl's not in. You need to get them all out.
they've both decided that, no, we are the same party. We work together on this. So all of us freedom-loving people, the percentage of MPs. I mean, I think the percentage of Conservative MPs have come out. I think it's just over 20% now of all Conservative MPs have said, no, we're not doing this.
I mean, and good on them, but whether it'll make of a difference.
No, just the electoral calculus question is what you're getting at there, the commenter presumably. Unfortunately, not if Labour votes with the government. If they don't, then no, it will be stopped on Tuesday, tomorrow, which would be good. But...
Well, Labour want all these restrictions and more, so I don't see any reason for them to not vote for it, especially when they've basically already said they will.
The silver lining, and I forgot to mention it in the segment, which is a shame, is that thanks to Boris's actions and the Labour Party's actions, no one takes this seriously.
No.
I mean, just a couple of points in my personal life that I found. We went rock climbing the other day, some of the guys in the office, and we turned up at the desk and they were like, oh, you have to wear a mask. Unless you're exempt.
Yep.
I'm exempt. Go on through, good sir.
I didn't even get asked. You probably already got there and they were just like, well, these guys probably are exempt as well.
Just average people. No one cares anymore. I also saw when I was walking to go get my hair cut, there was a chap who was busking and morons walked past and they're wearing these like N95 masks. And they're like 15 or something, right?
Oh, and God, I've seen so many kids, but they're
walking past the busker and the busker just looked around and went, so many more shots are you going to take until you realize it's a con?
I like it.
And they turned around and went, as many as we have to. And I was just like, okay. Like,
teenage rebellion is strong in this generation.
I kind of hate that. I mean, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, for example, right? And I kind of hate some of the segments of it, the language in which they refer to everyone as sheeple and stuff like this, because it's kind of cringe.
Yes.
You know, when it's done ironically, it's funny. But when it's non-ironic, I'm just like, are you serious? But when I saw someone like that, I was just like, I'll just take anything they give me. I mean, sheep actually is a good description.
Well, that's the thing. Overuse by certain crowds has made it cringe, but there is certainly a certain segment of the population that absolutely fall within that category.
Mm. But anyway.
And as you said, there's going to be a video out soon that I've done a premium podcast talking about the anti-vaxxers, so watch out for that if you're interested, and basically how they were all right. And I discuss in that the distortion of the term
I suppose
anti-vaxxer.
What they get right.
Yes, what they did get right. Wrong. There's so much from the beginning of last year where it's just people going, oh, they say this, and they say this. Did you know that they might think it came from a lab? What a joke these people are. Bloody anti-vaxxers.
Yeah, because we did this with Alex Jones, and of course there are things Alex Jones has said that are just, like, you talking about, man?
Yeah.
But of course there's a lot of things that the initial response was, what are you talking about, and turned out to be true, like the harvesting of baby organs by the federal government.
Yes.
Which did turn out to be true. Anyway, so let's move back to the comments. So Lord Nivier says...
Nerevar. I got you.
You're telling me like it's ever going to go in my ear and be used. I'm not going
to
remember this.
I'll try my best, guys. I'll try my best.
So remember to email your MP if they're a part of the rebellion against Plan B. It's easy to rip on them and pressure them when they're doing the wrong thing, but it's just as important to praise them when they're doing the right thing. That's absolutely correct.
That's a good point.
Lord. Baron von Warhawk says, Boris the Unready has brought this upon himself. He had the potential and momentum to be a great prime minister. He had all the goodwill from the people and massive power support from the Tory party to fix up the UK's problems and save her from the socialist menace. Yet he pissed it all away because he's too gutless to stand up for England and her people. In my opinion, he's getting what he deserves. Yeah, he's also too gutless to stand up to his mistress.
Yep.
I mean,
what I was about to say.
I know they're married now, but literally, like, he used to be married. They had an open relationship. Bit weird, but whatever. I don't care about private lives.
Really? I was not aware of that aspect. I wasn't aware of the open relationship part. So I didn't know he was such a degenerate.
Well, him and his wife would go off with whoever. I don't care about these things. I'm very libertarian about fetishes and sex and all that. Like, it's, you know, keep it to yourself, and that's about it. And so he got feelings for Carrie, apparently, and that's what ended the marriage.
I mean, hence why open relationships never work.
But it's also just like, you know, if you just take it as cheating, right? And then he's gone off with this mistress, and the mistress now controls him.
And by proxy, the government.
I mean, at least Harry and Meghan Markle were had the decency to move to
America.
You know, they were going to get married or something. Not the mistress. I mean, the mistress shouldn't be out of control. Good God. Anyway. Freeborn JJHW. I will not comply with any restrictions on my freedom. I hope everyone here will join me. Certainly will. Shaker Silver. Don't just take these Tories at their word. Examine their actions and voting history. How many are truly attempting to represent the wishes of the public, and how many are just vying for power and hoping on an opportunity due to Boris's weakness? Given that it's the Tories, the latter seems to be more likely than the former. This is important, of course, but politics is a dirty game, and people will be playing for power. The only hope you can get at that sort of level of government, in my opinion, is that you can push them in the right direction to do the right things. So yes, we will give you power if you do X, right? You know, and therefore there's the incentive to do the right thing.
It's all about incentives.
Anyway, so Jussie something. Wait, I know this one from POW camps, pushing until you accept the correct stance. Isn't it called brainwashing? Yeah, I mean, you can go visit those camps in Down Under, I've heard.
Yeah, if you read Gulag Archipelago, that's all they did.
Or just go to Australia and hang out. Anyway, so Jimbo G, I'm sure Labour will claim that everyone attending their party were tested beforehand. I wonder what the response would be if the Tory claim that they did the same thing at theirs. That's incredibly smart. That is a move Boris could pull, and it will put them in a right pickle. I mean, he's still a bellend, but... Yeah. that's not bad.
We can never move beyond that point. But...
Because you might not remember the chap, because he assumes that they did. That was their response as to why were you not wearing masks? Everyone was tested. Everyone had a vaccine. And it was like, no, they didn't. After day two, they stopped checking. You know, Julie Hartley Brewer turned up on day three, didn't have any checks, as she says.
Yep.
And it's like, so you're all full of S. Also, they didn't do any checks at the karaoke, nor was anyone wearing masks or vaccines or anything at any of the pubs that you went to in the evening. None of them care. All of them are the people in the know. None of them care about the risk. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Pisses me off.
I don't mind, trust me. All right, on to some of my comments now. They start criticizing Centre Inc., and the stream suddenly, immediately crashes. Imagine my shock. There's some interference going on here. I see you, Seth. Supreme Duck, there's one thing worse than degenerate animes. Woke cartoons. True. I know that there are people who have watched Big Mouth. I disavow those people. Because that is a pedo show, as far as I'm concerned. Are you aware of Big Mouth?
I've seen some clips.
It looks awful.
Not my kind of show.
Yeah, definitely not my kind of show. Free Will 2112. If Marxism takes over, all of Seth Rogen's posturing is not going to save him from the gulag. He's just another ultra-rich capitalist, as far as the hard-left ideologues are concerned. But he and the others like him, by engaging in this divisive politics, are making it more likely to happen. Potentially, I mean, that's the cultural Marxism sort of angle to take from it. But
you can predict what he's going to do as well if it did happen. You know, the BLM mob come to his house. Did you know I'm Jewish?
Yes, sir.
We don't care.
Technically, I'm not white.
Wait, no, they do care. They're socialists. Of course they care.
Well, no, if they're race socialists, they might care. But at the same time, they might put it all the way to the top of the hierarchy and go,
that's also why socialists end up always hating Jews. Is because you overperform as a group, therefore you're the bourgeoisie, therefore all the Jews get persecuted too.
Yes, don't do it, Seth. It'll make them angrier, please. Duffy B says, the only comedy Rogan has produced is on Twitter. I mean, yeah it's pretty funny to see him, like, spurg out at these people.
Carl mentioned the other day, all the verified checkmarks and journos on twitter.com, you should start calling them content creators.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Because think about it, they're the ones making content.
For us. Thanks, guys. You know, actually, give you a little salute for that one. Supreme Duck, woke cartoons should not exist. Political cartoons should be abolished. I'm not letting my kid watch Netflix because of this shit. I don't think you should go that far. I think overtly political stuff that tries to push a message is cringe and very easily identifiable. But you can still have, like, political themes and
I side with his stance on Netflix, though.
Yeah, with Netflix, I can...
I'm not a fan of Nonsflix.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's true.
Look, you couldn't get all your movies and TV shows, I am sure, by other legal means.
Yeah, they did that show recently as well that was like The Muppets, except talking about sex. And it was like a little 18 rating on it. But you know there's going to be some kids that are going to be scrolling through their parents' Netflix and be like, oh, Muppets! And then get a face full
Sure, but either way, I mean, after Cuties, I mean, the non-slicks allegation... As if we're not going to have a Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein moment in 10 years of whoever runs Netflix, right?
That's a good point. Well, more, maybe a Savile moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, whoever's doing the reviews for what goes on the site is...
Yeah. Jimbo Sus. G says there's only so long you can just smoke weed with your friends and come up with stupid ideas before the general public get tired of it. That's before you even insert your left-wing agenda into it. Correct. Baron von Warhawk. Gee, what a surprise. Turns out people don't like a movie that takes a holiday about peace, love, and family and turns it into a woke, smug, cringy propaganda film that actively hates and despises its subject matter. Who knew? Good point. Well made. Do you want to move on to...
Get woke, go broke.
Yep.
Jimbo G on the Unflushable Turd section. Hillary doing wonders for women's rights by crying through their through her feminist victory speech 5 years after she lost. Yeah, it is really...
That's a good point, actually.
Really ironic, isn't it? It's like, for women's
rights.
We women
are resilient and strong.
Yeah, it's like, if I was a woman, I'd feel like I'd want to tack fear Hillary Clinton from the woman race or something. If you get what I mean?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, nah, you're the cis women.
You are not one of us.
Or something. Like, here's a separate category and you can go in there. Because,
yeah.
I don't know, lizard person? I mean, that'll do. Anyway, so...
We disavow your femininity.
He continues, when you're a Clinton, they just let you. Yeah. Duffy B, it is very important to reinforce that these political parties have been turning into... their beasts with... Sorry, am I reading that right?
That have been
turned into their beasts with over 100 years of progressivism. This is largely to blame for us voters not forcing them out through primaries, these cancerous elements. Yeah, I mean, this is realpolitik. It sucks, but if you want a political party to be better, it is not... There are some things you can do, obviously, by voting and letter writing and all that, but sadly, the people who have the most impact in what a political party is, ideologically, are the people who give up their lives to go door knocking and campaigning and stand as councillors and then become MPs and all the rest of it. It is an enormous task, and that's why these things are so difficult. But if no one does it but, you know, the progressive types in the Democrats, what does the party turn into?
Well,
it turns into a woke channel.
I mean, that's the thing. The people going for these are self-selective, and the people who would consider themselves to be woke progressive types are the types that feel that they have an agenda to push and will put themselves in the positions where they can.
Yeah, I'm not saying any particular party, but the sad reality is, of course, that bodies are what make politics, and everyone has to do their volunteering, we'll put it that way.
Yep.
Anyway, so we're out of time, so I will leave that there. But if you want more from us, go to lotusseasons.com, of course. You can subscribe to get access to the premium stuff, as mentioned, or check out all the free stuff we had there as well, which is always good fun. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.